That is your mother. Amen? Whether your mother is here or not, we need to honor our mothers. Amen? God used your mother and your father to give you what no one else could give you, and that's existence. They brought you, God used them to bring you to this earth. So today I want to talk to you about what a difference a mom makes. How many's had a mom that has made a difference in your life? Amen? My parents are currently in Colorado. They're visiting out there. My nephew's graduating college. But I posted a little thing on her Facebook today, just that I love her and want her to have a blessed day. And I'm wearing orange today because this is one of Fiona's favorite colors, so I'm doing that to honor her. Hallelujah. And I want you to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about a few things, but then we're going to look at three mothers who made a difference in their family's lives. And we're going to learn some things about how they made a difference so we can carry on this. And in Exodus chapter 20, and let's look at verse 12. Anybody know what these are part of? The 10 what? They're not the 10 suggestions. They're not the 10 options, are they? They're not the 10 things if you feel like doing them, are they? What are they? 10 commandments. I want you to notice what he wrote in the commandments. And look at verse 12. Honor your who? And who? You know, he didn't just say honor one. He said honor your father and your mother. You know, when my nephew, he was born in the Philippines and he grew up in his younger life in New Zealand. And he had a very funny English accent when he was very little. And I remember the phrase that he came across, and it was in a book, and he got a hold of this phrase, and he said, obey your mother and father. And with the British accent, you can only imagine how cute that was. But he said, honor your father and your mother, that the days be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. You know, honoring your mother and your father is going to cause you to have longer life. It's going to cause you to be around longer. You know, what does it mean to honor, to esteem? It means to speak well of them. It means to bless them, to take care of them, you know, to honor them, to minister to them, to obey them. Amen? You know, God put authorities in our life. We all have authorities in our lives. And your mother and your father are both an authority in your life. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. I want you to look at verses 8 and 9. Notice what the word of the Lord says. My son or my daughter, hear the instruction of your father and... Is he finished with that sentence just right there? And forsake not the law of your mother. Say, thank God for mothers who laid down the law. Amen? You know, in my family, my mother was the enforcer. All right? My dad was a very quiet man, and he only really showed a great deal of emotion if he was really, 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 really mad. So if my dad got into the enforcing of the discipline, I knew I was in big, 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 big trouble. But normally, my mom would be the one to discipline me. But the Bible says do not forsake the law of your mother. Why? For they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains about your neck. How many want grace to be carried around with you? Well, it's in conjunction of you not forsaking the law of your mother. Amen? So let's not forsake the laws that our mothers have given us. Amen? And there was a young pastor by the name of Timothy. If you go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, you know, he was greatly influenced by two women in his life, his mother and his grandmother. And notice what the Apostle Paul said about Timothy. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 4 through 7. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of my tears that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. Well, how did Timothy, who instituted this faith in Timothy? He goes on to say, which was dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in you also. So thank God for mothers that instill faith in their children. Amen? You know, Christian kids, they have a drug problem today. I mean, Gabriel, you know, he has a drug problem. We drug him to Wednesday night refreshing. We drug him to Sunday morning. We drug him to meetings. Amen? He had a drug problem. But you know what? We want to transfer faith to him, understanding. We want him to walk with God. And so Timothy was greatly influenced by these two women. Now, I'm going to say some things. Now, men, you may not like what I say, but women, I'm here to speak for you today, so I want you to be with me. All right? Do I have your attention, ladies? Okay. These are just some statements that the Lord put on my heart. A woman is not a second-class citizen. Oh, come on, ladies. You can do better than that. Okay? A woman can hear from God. And mostly, they can hear better than men. Because they have that intuition, you know. I mean, a woman can hold a baby in one hand, stir a pot on the stove, and talk on the phone with the other. It's amazing what they can do. A woman, especially a wife, is there to be alongside her husband to help him fulfill God's will. God sent you, you married men, God sent you help in the form of a woman. Amen. And it was God who said that man should not be alone. Thank God, God. Okay? A woman was God's idea. He made her. And although she came from man, God took the rib. You know, Adam was gone for a long time one day. And he was a little concerned that he might be unfaithful. So when he got back, he was really tired. And so he was taking a nap. And he woke up with Eve sitting on him, pushing his chest. And he said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm just checking to see if there's another rib missing." A woman is unique in her communication style, and a woman is different from a man. Can you say amen? Amen. Celebrate your differences. God made her different for a reason. And she communicates differently. But men, you need to know how to understand, especially if you're married. 1 Peter says, dwell with your wife with understanding. All right? Anyway. Okay. A woman is strong. She can carry a baby for 9 months, then give birth, and then nurture the child. Aren't you glad, men, that we don't have to carry the baby for 9 months? Amen. You know, if it would have been easy, they would have named it something else other than labor. right? A woman is intelligent, gifted, and called by God for great things. Amen. Come on, ladies, I'm talking to you. You're intelligent, you're called by God, and you're gifted for great things. Amen. Come on. Are you there, women? So go with me to Exodus chapter 2. We're going to talk about the first mother who made a difference in her family's life. I'm going to give you a little quiz. Anybody know what Moses' mama's name was? Jochebed. Very good. You guys get an A+. Now I want you to notice something about in Exodus here, and in chapter 1, verse 8, it says, there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said to his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel were more and mightier than we. I want you to notice that the Israelites began to increase. You know, if you want to increase, a woman has to be involved. Amen? They're the carriers, they're the nurturers, and without women, we won't increase. So, great increase was happening in Egypt towards Israel. And then he said, come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there fall out any war, they join also our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities. Notice the Israelites built two cities in Egypt. Okay? But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. How many know it doesn't matter what kind of pressure the devil puts on you, but you can thrive when affliction comes. So if you're under affliction today, I got good news for you. You can progress in the midst of affliction. Okay? And the Egyptians then made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Okay, they were slaves. Verse 14, they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick. And the king told the Hebrew midwives, he set out a decree that I want you to abort the babies, especially the male babies. And how many know that abortion is wrong? And praise God for these midwives. They feared God. You know, there's nothing more powerful than a woman that fears God. I mean, she can bring heaven down to earth. You know, many of you may not know the story, but before Pastor Fiona and I met, I could shave and be good for a week. I kind of had a baby face. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but Fiona was praying for her mate, which wasn't me. She was just praying for her mate in general. And she said, I want a man that can have a 5 o'clock shadow. And as the Lord was working on us, you know, the time came when we started to get together, and she had graduated from Regent, came back to Tennessee where I was, and she was working. And we were out late one night, and we were having coffee, and she kept looking at me, and she said, is that a 5 o'clock shadow? I said, this is the strangest thing. All of a sudden, I'm having to shave every day now. So I'm telling you, there's power of a woman who fears the Lord. If she can pray whiskers on your face, watch out, man. But this was the environment and the atmosphere where Jochebed was going to bring forth her third child. And there was a decree from the land that you're going to take this male child and you're going to dispose of him. The midwives, they refused, and they kept the male children alive. And you know what? God blessed them. He gave them households of their own. Now look at chapter 2. Here's where we are. There was a man, there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And a woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Other versions said he was beautiful. So Jochebed, she gave birth to Moses. Now you got to understand this. Moses ended up delivering Israel from Egypt and instituting the law to the children of Israel. Her firstborn was Aaron. He became a high priest. And her daughter, Miriam, she was Moses' babysitter. She basically made sure that Moses was taken care of. Okay? Let me tell you something. Parents, you never know what your kids can become. But when you give them up to God, He can do great things with them. Okay? So she looked at this child, and even though she was supposed to get rid of this child, she did not. Praise the Lord. And she hid him for 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with some slime and pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Okay? She believed in Moses when others didn't. She saw that her son was beautiful. She had faith in God to protect her baby. Now, women, what would the government do if they found out you just took your baby boy and put him in an ark in the Nile River? Child services would be on your case if they found out. Right? But this woman, Jochebed, she made a difference. She made a difference in the life of her family and in the life of her son Moses. Okay? And, she refused. She in today's world, she would have been a spokesperson against abortion. Amen? She'd have been taking a stand. She'd have been speaking boldly. And she resisted abortion. Even in tough times, even in dangerous times, you know, some people might think, well, I don't want to bring a child into this. Why not? He might be the very solution that we need. Yeah. And this woman, she knew that God would take care of Moses and trusted God to find him a loving home. While he was in the ark, Miriam was watching as to where the ark would end up. And it just so happened, it ended up on Pharaoh's daughter's, when she was taking a bath or whatever. Right? So God placed her son into the hands of Pharaoh's daughter. And when she opened the basket, she too, the favor that was on Moses also came on Pharaoh's daughter, and she had compassion on him. All right? Now, this took faith, what Jochebed did. It took faith. And, when you can balance your heartbreak by God's favor. There will be some things that seem to break your heart. It probably broke her heart to put her brand new son, he was just a little over 3 months old, into the basket and to let him go. But I carried him for 9 months. How can I let him go? You can let him go when God says, let him go. Amen? Yes. Your faith in God has to be greater than anything else. Okay? So, when you experience heartbreak in life, it can be balanced by God's favor. Heartbroken people have to turn their dreams to God. And you must place your dreams in God's hands and let Him work out the details. She didn't know where her son would end up. She just knew that God would protect him. Okay? And not only that, Pharaoh's daughter, when she picked him up, Miriam, his sister, said, would you like me to find... She knew that he was a Hebrew. Maybe by the way, maybe of his clothes that he wore, identified him as a Hebrew, but the Pharaoh's daughter knew that he was a Hebrew. So Moses' sister said, would you like me to get someone to nurse him? And she said, yes, yes, go ahead. And lo and behold, Miriam brings her mother to nurse her son that she just gave up to God. And she gets paid for it. Now, you know that when you get paid to nurse your child, that God's involved. Say this with me. Mothers work hard. Don't ever think that they don't. If you don't think so, try being one. Okay? So there are some times in your life where you need to let go, you need to let things go to God and let Him work out the details. It's called faith. It's called trust. This woman had it. Okay? And God took what was entrusted to Him and made something great out of it. Okay? Now, the way to overcome disappointment is to turn it over to God. How many has ever experienced disappointment in your life? Well, turn it over to God and watch what He can do with your disappointment. Amen? He's got a way of turning things around. And God took Moses and made him great because of the faith of his mother. She greatly influenced her family. What a difference Jochebed made in the life of Moses. All right? She was probably born in Goshen in the land of Egypt. She gave birth to Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. And if you look, you don't have to turn there, but just write down Numbers 26:59. It says her name. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, a descendant of Levi, born to Levi in Egypt. And she was a wife, a mother, and a homemaker. Can you make a difference as a wife, a mother, and a homemaker? Absolutely. She made a difference in Moses' life because of her faith. All right? Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. We're going to talk about our second lady who made a difference in her family's life. You know, even when you don't have the right people around you, you can still make a difference by the choices that you make and the actions that you take. How many know the choices you make and the actions you'll take, you can make a difference in people's lives? Well, this is the story about a lady by the name of Abigail. And Abigail was married to a very rich man. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it was the time when they were shearing the sheep. And so they had a big festival as they sheared the sheep. And his name was Nabal. And the Bible says, in verse 3 of 1 Samuel 25, she was a woman of good understanding. Another version said she was intelligent. Can you say amen? Amen. Women, you are intelligent. How do I know that? Because God doesn't make junk. Amen? And she was beautiful. So she was intelligent and she was beautiful. And she was married to a rich man. She's got some things going on for her, doesn't she? But the man, the King James says, curlish, which means harsh and evil in his doings, and was of the house of Caleb. Okay? And so there was David. At this time, David was on the run from Saul. Saul was pursuing him to try to kill him. And so David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep. And so he came to Nabal and he sent some young men to say, can you spare some food? All right? And whatever you can spare, if you could give it to us, that would be great. Because at this time, David lived off the land. All right? And Nabal refused. Okay? Verse 10, Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse?" Well, obviously he knew who his father was, so he must have knew who he was. And there be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. So shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh I have killed for my shares and give it unto men whom I know not where they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told all those sayings. Now David was mad, all right? Because David had watched Nabal's sheep while they were in the wilderness. They basically were protected them. Nabal's own servants said that they were a wall to us. David said nothing was ever stolen, nothing was ever missing, but you were kept safe. So David said to his servants, "Everybody strap on your swords, and we're going to wipe out Nabal's family." How many know that when your family's in danger, a woman needs to rise up who can make a difference in the life of her family? All right? So this was an opportunity for Abigail. And verse 14, one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them." So I want you to know, she knew what was going on in her house. All right, she had communication lines that were open. She had her palm on everything that was going on in her house, okay? Because she was intelligent, all right? She knew what was going on, or she could find out. Kids, your mothers know what's happening, so you better live right, all right? And, you know, the servant said that they were very good to us, and so... look at verse 18. Then Abigail made haste. She acted swiftly. How many know that when it's time for action, it's time to act? When it's time to act, you don't have to have a committee saying, should we act or should we not? All right? Sometimes there's just a time, there's a moment where you need to rise up and you need to rise to the occasion. And women who make a difference in their family, they are women who rise up to the occasion. All right? They are women who take action. And she acted swiftly, and she knew how to delegate. She told the servant, "Make haste," and took 200 loaves and two bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, 100 clusters of raisins, and some cakes of figs. And she said unto her servants, "Go on before me." So she knew how to delegate. Ladies, you need to know how to delegate. Amen? You don't have to do everything. And especially today, on Mother's Day. Amen? If you have dishes that need to be washed in the house, someone else needs to do them other than Mama today. Come on. Ladies, you should be shouting on that. Today is not a laundry day. If you need laundry, wash it yourself. You made it dirty. All right. And she did not, verse 19, she did not tell her husband. Oh my goodness. Abigail did something without telling her husband. I can't believe it. Listen. When the people around you act foolishly, you don't have to tell them everything you do. Or you don't have to disclose what you're about to do. All right? And verse 23, she meets David. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. She knew how to honor others. She knew how to discern God's anointed. How do you correct a wrong? You do right. They said that to us in Bible school. The only way to correct a wrong is to do right. What Nabal did was wrong. So what Abigail's doing is she's correcting the wrong so that she can protect her family. If she doesn't do this, her family is dead. Okay? If she doesn't step in, David's going to kill all the men. And verse 26. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, seeing the Lord has withholded you from coming to shed blood and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now let your enemies and they that seek evil, my Lord, be as Nabal. She understood who the Lord was, and she knew the Lord. Not only was she recognizing David, but she was recognizing the Lord. How many know that there's something bigger that operates in our lives? It's called the spiritual. We can't see it operating, but it's operating even as we speak. There is darkness and there is light. And you've got to be able to discern between the two. And Abigail, who was a woman that made a difference in her family, she understood the difference. She knew she was able to recognize darkness, but yet she was able to recognize the light. Amen? If you want to walk in the light, you got to recognize the light. If you're in darkness, what are you looking for? Ooh, there's a light. Let's follow the light. Isn't that true? Okay. Verse 27. And now this blessing which your handmaid has brought unto your Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. She knew how to give and receive favor. If you want to be a woman that makes a difference in your family, you got to know how to give and receive favor. Amen. Your favor is precious. Favor can do for you what nothing else can't. Amen. Favor can open doors. It's amazing. You know, we were watching Undercover Boss this past Saturday, I think it was, and they had a special of how the lives of the people on the show were impacted. This woman who worked for this company, and this boss goes undercover, okay? I don't know if you ever saw it, but the CEO of the company was undercover working on the front lines, and this woman was homeless working for this company. And she did such a good job. She touched the heart of the CEO. He gave her $250,000 to buy a house. And then he came to visit her after she had purchased the house and it was unfurnished yet. He bought the whole family mattresses, nice mattresses. And this woman, she about passed out because of this gift that he was giving her. And that's the power of favor. Abigail, she knew how to give and receive favor. Ladies, if you give favor, you need to expect favor. You need to expect people, when you do good things for people that you love and even people that you don't love, right? You need to expect that people are going to do good things for you, but you've got to be able to receive it. Say, I expect favor to come to me because I give favor. And you know, what goes around comes around. What you sow is what you reap. So if you're out there sowing favor, you can expect favor. All right? Verses 28 through 31. Abigail asked for forgiveness. She was an intercessor, and she knew how to pray. She stood in the gap. She was asking for forgiveness on something that she didn't even do. That's what an intercessor does. They stand in the gap. If you want to be a woman that makes an impact, that greatly influences your family, you got to know how to be an intercessor. You got to know how to pray. You got to know how to ask for forgiveness. She asked David to forgive. She said, I didn't see your servants coming. You know, she put herself right into that situation because it was her family. It was her servants that were at risk. Hallelujah. What a difference Abigail made. Verse 32, even David recognized that Abigail was sent from God. Amen. When you do things with a right heart and a pure heart, people are going to see where the motive is. They're going to see, your motive is going to show forth. All right? And verse 34, For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, which has kept me back from hurting you, except you had hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light that, well, anyway, you see what that says. I'm not going to read that. Obviously, I was reading a different version other than the King James. See, Abigail saved her family by the action that she took. You want to make a difference in your family's life? It's going to require you to take action sometimes. Faith acts. You know, faith speaks. When something comes against your family, women, you need to write, I don't think so. You are not, oh no, you did not do that. Verse 35, Abigail knew how to get her prayers answered because she knew how to act in faith. And verse 36 and 37, she had good discernment in timing. She knew when to act, when to be silent, and when to speak. Amen? And did you know that what she did led her to become the wife of a king? 10 days later, after what she did, her husband, after she told her husband in the morning, after he recovered from his hangover, he had a seizure, and then 10 days later, he was dead. Actually, the Bible says the Lord, you know, you don't mess with a godly woman, I'm telling you. It'll bounce back on you. So ladies, if you want to make a difference in your family, you can do what Abigail did, and you'll make a great difference in your family. Amen? Let's go to one more, and let's go to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Are you enjoying this, ladies? Men, you'll have your day in June. So support the ladies for today. You say amen on the ladies' behalf. Amen? All right. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. You know, Joshua got wise. He sent two instead of 12. Amen? And they're spying out the land, and they ended up in a harlot's house. She was a prostitute. All right? And she received the men from Israel. Okay? And look at verse 2. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men here tonight to the children of Israel to search out the country. The king of Jericho knew that the men visited Rahab. Okay? Maybe, I don't know, maybe he ran the business. I don't know. But he knew what was going on at Rahab's house. Okay? And so the king talked to Rahab and said unto her, bring forth the men that are come to you, which are entered into your house, for they are come to search out all the country. And she hid them. Praise God. You know, Rahab protected the men from Israel. If you want to be a woman that makes a difference in your family, you need to protect your family. Amen? You need to take steps to protect them. And you know, she said, well, I don't know where they are. Obviously, she hasn't gotten rid of lying yet. Okay? But she was doing that to protect. And look at verse 9. You know, she hid them up to the roof, and she sent the guys out to look for them, to kind of send them on a wild goose chase. But in verse 9, she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. What kind of talk is that? I know the Lord has done this for you. That's faith talk. Okay? Rahab was a woman of faith. All right? If you want to be a woman that makes a difference in your family, you got to be a woman of faith. All right? And she said, your terror has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land are faint because of you. We have heard. How does faith come? She heard about the Red Sea. Do you think when she heard stories of the Red Sea, of some of her clients, you know, she began to say, oh my goodness, something was changing in her heart. All right? She was hearing the stories of what God did, and she was developing her faith in God. Okay? For when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. So she knew that the Lord had given Israel the land. She heard the word about the Red Sea and the deliverance from Egypt. And look at verse 11. She said, your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She recognized God as the God of heaven and earth. Okay? If you want to be a woman that makes a difference in your family, you got to recognize who God is. You got to know who God is. You got to know his position. Amen? He's God of heaven, he's God of earth, and he's God under the earth. There is no other God beside him. Our God is one. Our God is the Almighty. He's the Creator. And so verse 12, we see that she is a good negotiator. She said, now therefore I pray, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. How many know when you're kind, what's going to happen to you? People are going to be kind to you too. So she was a good negotiator. And she sowed favor and she asked favor in return. She knew about sowing and reaping, and she was a good negotiator. And then they gave her instructions. They said, okay, we're going to do this for you, but you got to hang this scarlet cord out your window. You know, that sounds a lot like when the Israelites put the blood on the doorposts. And the angel of death passed over that. A scarlet is red, isn't it? The Israelites gave her a scarlet cord to hang out the window to identify her to be protected. That scarlet cord represents the blood covenant. That scarlet cord represents that Rahab was in covenant with God. So she had to hang this cord out the window, and she had to have all of her family in her house. No one to be out of the house, just like putting the blood on the doorposts. So she had to follow these instructions. And she told the men, go to the mountains, stay there for 3 days until those that are pursuing you leave. So she did. Then came the destruction of Jericho. And when Joshua came and they marched around the city walls and the walls fell flat and they invaded, not one person was saved from Jericho except everybody that was in Rahab's house. Do you realize that she saved her family from destruction? She prevented her family from being destroyed because she got involved with God's plan. She was a woman who made a difference in her family. She saved her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters, all of her family members that could fit in that house. Okay? They were saved. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verses 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. You may be surrounded by a bunch of unbelievers, but that doesn't excuse you for getting involved in unbelief. You need to believe. Amen? You need to make up your mind who God is and what He is to you and what He's done, and you need to trust Him. So we see from Jochebed and Abigail and Rahab, three women, different backgrounds, different locations, but they had one thing in common. God used them to save their families. God used them because they allowed God to work in their lives. They made a difference in their family's life. See, when you get with God and when you get with His plan, you too can make a difference in your family's life. Amen? You know, I think of Jesse Duplantis's mom who said, no son of mine is going to go to hell. And Jesse, he was involved in some secular bands. They were pretty popular back in the late 70s. And I heard a testimony of him one time. He was at a nightclub, and he was just doing his thing. And, you know, God spoke to him and said, you need to leave this place. So he did, and the first thing he did is he called his mom. He said, Mama, stop praying. Because he knew that it was his mama's prayers. And if it wasn't for his mama's prayers, he probably would have ended up dead. And let me just finish with this today. I'm going to close with this. You know, Jesus came to show us a better way. All right? And Jesus allowed women to accompany him and his disciples on their journeys. Matter of fact, in Luke 8, he said, some of the women even supported him from their own means. All right? Jesus talked with the Samaritan at Jacob's well and led her to a conversation to experience eternal life. All right? Jesus did not think it strange that Mary sat at his feet, assuming the role of a disciple. In fact, he suggested that Martha should do likewise. He told Martha, Mary chose the better part. But it wasn't strange for Jesus to have this woman sit at his feet that showed submission. It wasn't strange for Jesus. And you know, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so I just want you to know, mothers, God created you to make a difference. Mothers are difference makers. Amen? Well, you say, well, I'm not a mother. But there's two ways to be a mother. You can give birth to a mother. Actually, there's three. You can adopt, or you can be a mentor to someone. Paul was considered a father to Timothy. He said, my son in the faith. And when you develop that kind of a relationship with another individual, it's like a parent-child relationship. So ladies, I've got good news for you. You're mothers, amen, because you're mentors, and you can make a difference. So I want all the mothers to stand up. I want all the ladies to stand up. Let's just have all the ladies stand up, amen? And ladies, I want you to know that you are loved. Amen. Come on, all the ladies, stand up, young and old. God has a special plan for every one of you. God created you. God chose you. God made you. God can talk with you. He's created you to communicate with Him. You can have your own relationship with the Lord. You're unique as an individual, but you're also, you have an added bonus, those that are married. Amen? And I want to bless you today. I want you to have the super most awesome blessed day that you've ever had. In Jesus' name. So, Father, I pray for these ladies in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I thank you that you have called them and created them to be difference makers in their families, in their friends, in other relationships, Lord. And I give you thanks and praise that they hear your voice and that they're led by your Holy Spirit. And you work through them mightily in the name of Jesus. And I give you thanks and praise, Father. Protect them from anyone that would say anything different to them in the name of Jesus. Father, may every negative word that was ever spoken to them fall off to the ground and disappear in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask you to heal them of every wound from every word that caused a wound to come to them in Jesus. I speak healing and life to their hearts. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that their families would recognize the priceless jewel that they have in these women. And Lord, I give you thanks and praise for blessing them today. Lord, give them the best Mother's Day ever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.